CPI, in association with MGP, presents a Martin Gates film. Jack and the Beanstalk. Wrapped up against the cold, a severe-looking man makes his way to a remote, timber-framed, thatched cottage near a stream. A warm glow of light spills out of the cottage as the door is opened from within for the man to enter. Written by Sue Radley and Martin Gates. Songs and score by Chris Caswell. Animation director, Atoll Henry. Directed by Martin Gates. Reeds rustle in the breeze and leaves streak across the hilly ground and a plank across the stream leading to the cottage, which is surrounded by a wooden fence and flanked by two stark, leafless trees. Inside the sparse cottage, the severe, portly man, the Reeve, who is bald with thick hair on the back and sides of his head and bushy eyebrows and sideburns, is berating a peasant woman and her sandy-haired son, Jack.
The weather is not my responsibility, mistress. If the crops do not grow because there is no rain, that is not my responsibility. Widows and orphans are also not my responsibility. Collecting the rent for this cottage is my responsibility, mistress. And if I do not receive it by Friday, then you are out! Out! Is that clear?
The Reeve throws a frying pan onto the floor and winds a scarf round what little neck he has and storms out. Jack watches him leave from the doorway before shutting the door and trudging up to his mother.
Don't cry, Mother.
I'm not crying, Jack. I'm thinking. I must think. There must be some way to find the rent. Something we could do. Something we could sell.
Well, we've got half a loaf of bread, nothing in the garden, and hardly any furniture. We haven't even got spare boots or a cloak to sell.
I'm afraid the cow will have to go.
What?
Petal. We'll have to sell Petal.
We can't do that!
We have to, Jack. We've nothing else.
But what about the milk? We won't have any milk to drink.
Then we'll have to drink water, won't we?
But why can't we...
Jack, please stop arguing. I don't want to sell Petal any more than you do. But it's either that or being turned out of the cottage. And it's winter.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I'll take her to market in the morning and see how much I can get for her.
No. No. I'll take her. Let me take her, and I'll get a really good price. I'll get so much that we'll have extra money after we've paid the rent to buy food. And I'll bargain, and I'll haggle, and I'll beat their prices down, and
beat their prices up.
Oh, yes. Anyway, I'll come back with loads of money, and you'll be really proud of me. And we'll be able to buy cheese, and ham, and sausage, and...
All right, you can take her. But you must make sure that you get at least 5 silver pieces for her. Don't take less.
Don't you worry, Mother. I'll get much more than that. You'll be really pleased, I promise you.
The next day, doves flutter over the rooftops of a medieval town of timber-framed buildings and cobbled streets. People are drawn to the town and its market with their produce. Jack is part of the procession to market, leading the cow, Petal, by a rope, which a juggler trips over. The juggler struggles to gather up his balls.
Sorry!
Careless boy!
Jack presses on to the bustling market square.
Roll up, roll up! See the amazing fire eater! This man eats flames!
A burly fire eater sends a fireball up into the air, incinerating the juggler's balls, which fall as embers. A drummer marches across the square, and a nobleman and his wife follow on horseback, drawing the attention of the peasants. The peasants are drawn to the beat of another drum being struck by a sinister-looking skinny man. And the peasants gather round.
Step right up, right this way, my friends. Our auctioneer is about to take the stand. We've got buyers, we've got sellers. What a day to make a deal. Gather round me, village dwellers. He's about to spin his spiel. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you our auctioneer.
A large man with thinning hair.
Will someone start the bidding on this handsome man?
Five silver coins!
That's more than fair. Now, is he up to 8 or 9?
I'll give you 10 if you throw in the swine.
Sold to the man in the cloak of wool.
We'd best keep moving. Your list is full.
Very well then. Collect his due and I'll move on to something new.
Money changes hands.
Here's a prize, this oxen cart. Speak right up now. All start.
3 gold coins!
We'll make it 4.
6.
Do I hear any more? Sold to the merchant. These fine things put the gold in the bag my assistant brings.
The skinny assistant gathers the money.
Take a look at this kid, looks like an easy pitch.
Let's go to work. I'll make the sale, you make the switch. For my next bit of business, I'll address this young man's cow. Can I get a hefty bag of silver? We'll start the bidding now.
4 silver pieces!
Do I hear a 5 among the crowd?
5, 6, 7!
That's a spirit shout out loud.
I think we've gone as far as we can go.
I think so.
We'd best be practical. It is a cow and not a bull. Will it be used for milk or steak? You'll have to get what I can take. After all, the cow is old. Don't go expecting any gold. Going once, going twice, going 3 times. Sold!
Jack beams as Petal's buyer drops some coins into a bag, which the assistant takes to the auctioneer, who presents Jack with a different bag.
Here we are, lad. And a very good price, too. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
No, no, no. You keep that bag tightly shut and close about your person, boy. It don't do to go waving silver coinage under the noses of the peasantry. Some of them might feel they was entitled to a share of it, if you get my meaning.
Well,
there is thieves lurking around every corner.
Oh, dear. Are there?
With clubs and knives and murderous intent. I suggest you runs home as quick as you can, and you'll be safe.
Oh, I will. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye, lad. Goodbye.
Later, Jack walks through a wood on the way home.
5 whole silver pieces! We can pay the rent, buy loads of food, and Mother will be able to buy a proper coat, and I can have the holes in my boots mended.
Jack's mother is working at a spinning wheel.
I'm back, Mother! Wait till you see what I got! Look!
He empties the bag.
You stupid boy! You stupid, stupid boy! They've swindled you!
But I don't...
It's just bits of old metal and some beans!
Jack's mother throws the beans and shards of metal outside.
Couldn't you be more careful, Jack? Didn't you watch what was happening? Oh, this is terrible. What are we going to do? We have nothing left. Nothing!
I'm sorry, Mother.
Sorry? It's too late to be sorry. We're going to be thrown out of our house and either starve or freeze to death.
I thought I'd done so well. I thought I'd got a really good price. Oh, they must have been laughing at me all the time. Oh, what a fool.
Oh, no, Jack. I'm the fool. I should never have let you go. You're much too young and inexperienced. It's my fault.
I'm the one that lost the cow.
Yes, well...
I know. I'll find work.
Oh, don't be silly, Jack. There is no work.
I'll find something. Don't you worry. I could be a woodcutter.
Jack swings an axe around but loses his grip and embeds it in the wall.
Oh, Jack.
I could. Anyway, I'll go out tomorrow morning and I won't come back until I've found a job.
The axe drops to the floor and Jack flinches. Slivers of dark cloud slice across a crescent moon. The 3 beans that were thrown outside let out bursts of glittering lights like a mini firework display. The beans tremble, and leafy shoots snake out of them, growing thicker and thicker. Tempted by a mouse scurrying across the garden, an owl moves in for the kill, but its attack is thwarted by the growing beanstalks, and it flaps away into the night as the three beanstalks entwine like a rope as they grow thicker and taller. The next morning...
See you soon, Mother.
Good luck, dear.
With the axe over his shoulder, Jack turns and looks up in shock.
Beans! Lots of beans! Beans for dinner and beans to sell in the market!
Bulging bean pods the size of sleeping bags hang from the thick, gnarled trunk of the beanstalk that's festooned with large green leaves and stretches up high into the clouds. Jack props the axe against the cottage wall and clambers up the beanstalk. He tugs at a pod, which breaks free and falls to the ground, leaving him clinging to a vine and swinging to another branch. Spotting more pods, he swings from a branch to dislodge pods with a kick. Later, the foot of the beanstalk is buried in piles of dislodged pods. The beanstalk snakes off into the haze of the clouds, and Jack climbs higher and higher, stopping to dislodge another pod with a sharp kick. Jack clambers from branch to branch amidst a thick network of gnarled trunks and limbs blanketed with wispish clouds.
Oh!
Pushing at a pod, Jack loses his footing and tumbles onto lush grass. He gazes in awe at an idyllic meadow and a sparkling stream with butterflies and exotic birds dancing through the air.
Food! Huge food!
He picks a berry the size of a pumpkin dangling from a sturdy tree and takes a bite.
More food!
He plucks luscious plums from a tree and gobbles them up.
Ooh, strawberries! Whee!
He slides through a huge strawberry patch and later he's lying on his back munching a strawberry the size of a football, but tosses it away and drifts off to sleep. A sleepy Jack pops up out of the strawberry patch and goes to investigate the source of the commotion. He's wide-eyed in terror as red-eyed horses thunder towards him, throwing up clouds of dust and sparks from their hooves. He's left flat on his back on the ground, pockmarked with hoof prints. He gets to his feet and sees timber-framed huts in a village beyond, consumed by flames. Diminutive villagers form a chain to douse the flames with buckets of water as Jack approaches through clouds of smoke.
Can I help? Let me help!
We can't get the water quick enough!
Don't worry, I'll get the water!
Jack takes away the props on a bulb-like water tank.
Oi! What's he doing?
Jack carries the tank, which is bigger than him, to the flames and smashes it on the inferno. The flames are extinguished, but a villager's trapped beneath a beam.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. She's trapped!
We can't lift it. Her leg is stuck.
Here, let me.
The villagers are waist high to Jack, and he tugs at the beam.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
That was a great help to us, sir.
Oh, that's all right. But what happened here? Who were those people on horses?
The Dark Riders. They come from the Giant.
Giant?
They're his servants. He sends them out when he wants something.
They take everything from us. Everything.
They burn our crops and our houses.
Sometimes they come in the middle of the night.
They take our sheep and our cattle and anything valuable, jewelry or gold, that sort of thing.
They smash everything in their pot.
Oh, dear. This is terrible. Who is this giant?
We don't know, sir. We never seen him.
He moved into the old castle at the side of the desert.
He just sends the Dark Riders to steal for him.
But we must do something.
Have you come to save us from the giant, mister?
Well, no, not really.
You could do it if anyone could, sir. Of course, it's not your responsibility, and we wouldn't want to impose upon you, but we're not very good at fighting in that. It's not in our nature.
And you'd be a match for him, sir. You're pretty much of a giant yourself, if you don't mind my saying so.
Right, yes, yeah.
You're very tall.
And strong.
Right, yes,
Yes, you are.
Am I?
You are.
Yes, I suppose I am, really. I tell you what, I'll go and try and sort this giant out for you. I'll confront him or something. And
he's going to save us!
Later, as Jack walks away from the smouldering village, a little girl with a mop of dark hair and chipmunk teeth follows him.
Oh!
Hello.
Oh, hello.
I'm Dilly, and I'm coming with you.
What?
I said, I'm Dilly, and I'm coming with you. The people from that giant stole my harp, and she was the best thing I ever had, and I want her back.
Oh, I see. Well, it might be a bit dangerous.
That's all right. I'm pretty brave and fearless and everything. Anyway, I'll be with you.
Oh, yes.
And you don't have to worry about feeding me because I've brought my own food.
Oh, good.
Later, in a forest beneath a crescent moon.
Have you done much of this sort of thing before?
What sort of thing?
You know, going after giants, adventures, quests, exploring, fighting.
Oh, well, a bit, I suppose. You know, the odd adventure. Occasionally.
I haven't. My mum won't let me do anything. I left her a note to say I was coming with you to get the giant. I bet she'll be ever so cross.
Oi, Mavis. Mm. What do you reckon of them two?
How do you mean?
Do you reckon they look as if they might die in the night? I'm starving.
Of course they won't. They're as healthy as anything. Look at them.
That little one make a lovely starter. You don't think they're looking at all peaky, then?
No, I don't. So you can stop torturing yourself and go and find a couple of dead rats or something.
They're going after the giant.
What?
I just heard them. They was talking about it. Going to get him, they said.
Them too? Don't be so daft.
That's what they said.
They won't last 5 minutes in that castle. Hey, if we keeps close to them, you'll get your starter and your main course.
Reg, a balding vulture, topples from his perch.
You know what?
What?
If we was to let him know...
Who?
The giant, Reg. The giant!
Oh, right.
If we was to let him know, warn him, like...
Yeah?
Could be he might see his way to giving us a little reward. Payment for information type of thing.
What sort of reward?
Well, I don't know. A nice dead sheep, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, that is, Mavis. A very good idea. Let's go and give it a try.
We love our leftovers. Our kitchen never closes. Leftovers right under our noses. Leftovers, if something's left, we'll be right over.
Any foul-smelling place is our venue.
Whatever's deceased is on our menu.
Ferret flambé.
Or squirrel soufflé.
Or snake sorbet. We've had it all.
If there's not enough rare rabbit, rabbit.
We gather what's left and we share it.
But once in a while.
There's food by the pile.
And we dine out in style and have a bowl. We love a leftovers, you may call us riff-raff. Leftovers, but we get the last laugh. Leftovers, if something's left, we'll be right over. Some will hurry dinner, but we won't.
No, we just don't move until they don't.
Some eat and run.
But they miss the fun.
We wait till dinner's done before we munch.
Working for peanuts makes no sense.
We'd rather eat vermin than rodents.
We may have our flaws.
But stand in our claws.
Apply a short pulse and you've got lunch. We love our leftovers.
Reg and Mavis fly to a castle and crash land on a drawbridge, slipping and sliding up to imposing doors.
Well, go on then, knock.
No! You!
You! It was your idea, you knock.
All right.
Red eyes peer out of darkness.
What do you want?
Good evening, sir. We was wondering if perhaps you might be at all interested in some sort of information at all.
What information?
Well, we was in this tree this evening, as usual, and
we was thinking, sir, that you might like to know that there is two dangerous spies who are, at this moment, even as we speak, making their way towards this castle so as to kill the giant.
Actually, they're not actually making their way here exactly now. They're asleep under that big oak tree just inside the forest.
They will be stopped.
I must say, they didn't sound all that grateful.
No mention of a reward, neither.
A huge bone drops from the battlements.
Oh. That's more like it. Oh, come on. Let's go. I don't like it here. It's creepy.
Dark Riders thunder out of the castle. Reg grabs the bone as it falls over the edge of the drawbridge, and Mavis grabs his leg as he dangles above the moat. Jack and Dilly wake beneath mighty trees.
Did you sleep well, Dilly?
Yes, thanks. You?
Yes. What's that?
Quick!
Help!
Look at that, Reg.
I don't believe I've ever tasted donkey before, Mavis.
Hang around, Reg, and you may get a chance.
Let me down. Help. Help.
We're coming. We're coming. We'll get you down. Let me
down. A small, droopy-eared donkey is dangling from a tree with a rope around his foot.
Help. 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 Help me. Please, help!
Don't worry, it's all right.
Jack unties the rope.
You're free! Everything's all right now!
You're free!
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh. I don't know what would have happened if you hadn't have come along. Yes, I do. I'd have been the giant's supper. Oh, I can still feel my heart beating. Oh, what a terrible shock. It's going to take me ages to get over this. Ages.
The giant's supper?
How do you know you'd be the giant's supper?
It's the Dark Riders. They set up traps all over the place.
And then the poor animals who fall into them get taken away to the castle.
And eaten.
Oh, I can't bear to think about it.
Well, you're safe now.
And we must get on.
You're not going to leave me?
Well, yes.
No. No, no, no. Please, please don't leave me. Oh, don't leave me. The Dark Riders will come back and get me. And I'll be eaten. Oh, please don't leave me. Please. Please don't leave me. Oh, please. Oh, please.
But we're going to the giant's castle.
We're going to sort him out, and then nobody will get eaten.
Oh, but they might come back. They might come back and get me. I'll come with you. Oh, let me come with you.
But we're going to the giant's castle.
I don't care. I don't want to be on my own. Please, let me come with you. Oh, please. Oh, please.
Well, all right. If you're sure...
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Come on, then. We've probably got a long way to go.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What's your name?
Ambrose. What's yours?
Jack. And this is Dilly.
The vultures watch them leave.
There goes your chance of donkey leftovers, then, Reg.
I was tantalised. Then it was snatched away.
Yeah. Nothing worse than being tantalised.
Come on, Ambrose. Keep up.
I can't. I'm tired. That experience this morning has left me completely exhausted.
He's going to be a real nuisance, I can tell.
He'll be all right. He's just had a shock, that's all.
You wait, I bet I'm right.
He could carry things. That's what donkeys do, isn't it? Carry things.
We haven't got anything.
Well, if we did have, then he could, couldn't he?
Jack and his new friends arrive at a wooden footbridge spanning a steep ravine. On the far side is a water tank atop a scaffolding tower and a boulder and large bowl lashed to it. Nailed to the bridge is a sign bearing runic symbols.
What does it say?
It's a warning. I bet it's a warning.
It says, no fishing except on Tuesdays and Fridays.
How can it say that? There's no water.
Well, I don't know.
You can't read it, can you?
Of course I can't. It's in foreign. I just thought it looked as if it said that.
It's a warning. I'm sure it's a warning. It's saying that if we go any further, something horrible will happen. Wild animals will attack us, or rocks will fall on us, or something.
Well, we can't go back now, and there's no other road, so we'll just have to chance it.
It's probably just to tell foreigners not to drop litter, I expect.
Come on, then.
Jack leads the way across the rickety bridge that has small logs tied to ropes overhead like trapezes, but he steps on a loose board. He springs off the board and grabs hold of one of the dangling logs and swings off the bridge, triggering a series of pulleys and levers that open sluice gates on the water tank. Water pours into the large bowl and Jack swings back to the edge of the bridge, teetering precariously, but Dilly drags him to safety.
Do be careful.
You go first, then.
All right, I will.
As Dilly leads the way, the bowl fills up and starts to overflow. And a beam that the bowl is lashed to rises as the bowl falls, lifting the tethered boulder off the bridge. A section of the bridge drops away and Dilly teeters on the edge. Jack grabs hold of Dilly and Ambrose holds on to Jack. But as the water drains from the bowl, the boulder drops back into place, flipping the hinge section back into position. The bowl is refilled.
Quick!
As the boulder starts to rise again due to the weight from the water bowl, the bridge section rises, and Jack and his friends leap off the edge onto the far end of the bridge.
Ambrose!
Dangling Ambrose is tugged to safety by his ears.
This is a jolly good adventure, isn't it?
Jack and Ambrose are taken aback by Dilly's gung-ho enthusiasm. Later, they're trudging through a forest.
I hope I get my heart back. I really miss her. She was ever so clever. I didn't used to have to practice at all because she played herself. And she used to sing too. She was a jolly good singer and she used to sing and play at the same time. I used to sing with her.
which is called a duet. I used to sing, I knew a man built upside down and I can prove it so. His nose ran and his feet smelled and so, hey-goo-goo. Hoody, 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 hum, doody, 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 dum. Hoody, hoody, hoody.
Where's Dilly? Dilly? Ambrose?
Dilly and Ambrose have disappeared. Wearing flowing hooded cloaks with sinister red eyes peeking out from inky darkness within the hoods, two dark riders stop at a tree where Reg and Mavis are asleep, perched on opposite ends of the giant bone, balanced on a branch like a seesaw. A dark rider climbs the tree and a clawed hand grabs the bone.
Where are they? Where are the spies?
Oh, yes, the spies. They went off. They went off with the donkey, didn't they, Reg?
Yes, they did.
Which direction? Which way did they go?
Oh, well, I don't rightly remember. They
went that way, over. No, they didn't. I tell a lie. They went... Oh, dear. You've really confused me, coming so sudden like that.
It was that way. I definitely remember now. That way.
The Dark Rider lets go of the bone and the vultures tumble. Jack lands on Ambrose in a cave.
Where are we?
I don't know. We sort of fell through the path. It looks as...
I told you. Didn't I tell you? I said that notice was a warning. Don't go on, I said, but nobody took any notice. And now look where we are.
Yes, all right, but we must...
We're in some horrible dark cave, and I've got...
Yes, I know, I'm sorry.
And I've got millions and millions of bruises.
We have to get out of here, Ambrose, but first we must find Dilly. And if you don't stop moaning, I shall leave you behind.
No. Wait for me.
Well, come on, then.
I'm sorry.
I can see a light.
The cave is crawling with scorpion-like bugs that have glowing spherical lights instead of hooked stings.
Ugh.
The bugs line up in massed ranks and glower at Jack.
I should never have come.
Well, nobody asked you.
Things lurking here, I can tell. Horrible things.
Quite possibly.
Lurking and watching us. Then when we're exhausted and starving and defenseless, they'll leap on us.
Ambrose! Will you be quiet?
Jack glares at Ambrose and then presses on, turning a corner. Ahead of them are large, carved double doors and Jack reaches for the handle. A swarm of bats pours out of the open doors, driving Jack and Ambrose backwards through a hatch. Tumbled down into a cavern where they're grabbed by large green hands.
Ow! Hey!
They're thrown into a cage.
There you are. Where have you been? I've been stuck here for absolutely ages.
Well, I'm very sorry, Your Majesty. We came as quickly as we could. Good grief, what are those?
They're trolls. We learned about them at school. They live underground and they never, ever come out their whole lives, not even for a minute. They're horrible, aren't they?
Attention!
A two-headed troll king.
Silence! Let the trial commence!
How do you plead?
We don't plead anything! Let us out immediately!
Oh, you have to plead! You have to plead guilty!
Don't be ridiculous! We haven't done anything!
But you have! You have! You've disobeyed our notice!
Jack and his friends exchange bemused looks.
Court is now in session. Let's proceed!
Of course, there's only one way you can plead!
We've done nothing wrong.
So we'll just move along.
Our sign said do not cross.
Do you not read?
I told you.
You crossed our bridge.
You annoyed our bridge and made it cross.
Very good. Very good.
Very stupid if you ask me. You've got no right to lock us up like this.
Oh, we have. We have.
We have every right. We're the king.
Well, you
innocent people.
You are not innocent people. You're guilty.
Guilty.
And you will be punished.
Punished. We'll make you play ring-a-ring-a-roses.
With every thorn, you're sure to get the point. Ow!
Our hopscotch on a wire.
That hangs over a fire.
We're heating up the playing field right now.
You will be tickled with feathers.
You will be forced to drink tea with no sugar.
You will be made to ride bicycles
with square wheels.
You will be made to play tennis with rackets with no strings.
You will be forced to eat ice cream
straight from the oven.
They're mad. They're all completely mad.
We're on an important mission, you know. We're going to see the giant!
The giant!
There's the proof! They're guilty!
Guilty!
They're friends of the giant! Accomplices!
Thieves!
They aided abet the one who stole our hen!
Our beautiful hen!
The hen who laid golden eggs.
Beautiful, solid,
golden eggs! They've planned to see the giant in due time!
Each one an accomplice to the crime!
You're both insane! Two heads without a brain!
You must excuse the lad. He's had a long, hard climb.
Oh, don't be silly! Of course we aren't thieves! All friends of the giant! We're...
Guilty!
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 It sounds to me like...
The hooded, red-eyed executioner is wheeled in on a wooden cart brimming with various weapons and devices. A team of trolls loses control of the cart and it trundles round the judicial arena with the executioner struggling to keep his balance. The cart crashes into a crate containing the golden eggs. The executioner comes a cropper from his own torture devices, a feather duster and a metal pot, as golden eggs pour out of the crate.
No! No! No eggs! No eggs! A beautiful golden eggs! Save them! Save them!
A torrent of eggs sweeps the wheeled cage containing Jack and his friends out of the arena. And it crashes into a wall, shattering the bars.
Oh! Our eggs! Sabotage! Invasion!
Bring them back!
Trolls are swept along on the tide of eggs and out of the arena after Jack and his friends. Ambrose makes a dash for it, followed by Dilly, and then Jack, who stops to look back at the mob of angry trolls. A troll creeps up behind Ambrose with an axe, but Jack pinches the troll's bottom.
Oh! I'm sorry. I can't go any further. I'm too shocked. I'm not used to all this sort of thing, you know. And...
Come on, Ambrose!
I just told you.
Ambrose gallops off with Dilly clinging to his tail as Jack is confronted by a sword-wielding troll. Jack parries a blow with a stick and then ducks sword swipes, narrowly avoiding a haircut. On a narrow ledge high up in a cavern, Jack uses his stick like a sword as he goes on the attack. But the troll slices the stick. Jack swings on a dangling rope, launching a kick at the troll, leaving it teetering on the edge of the ledge.
Boo!
A A spear slices the rope and Jack spots a mob of stampeding trolls approaching. Jack flees amidst a volley of spears and a spear hits a door Dilly's tugging at.
Help!
Jack catches up with them as the door is struck by more spears which have sucker cups instead of blades. The protruding spears form a ladder and Dilly starts climbing, but Jack has to carry a reluctant Ambrose.
I can't!
Yes, you can!
Jack shoves Ambrose and Dilly pulls him onto a ledge and the three of them flee as a spear narrowly misses Jack. The trolls climb the makeshift ladder after them. In a hallway lined with stone doorways on either side, Jack and his friends weave in and out of the doorways, closely pursued by the baying mob of trolls. Jack and his friends think they've given their pursuers the slip. But they haven't. More trolls climb the spear ladder, but it snaps and they land in a heap. Dilly leads the way across a narrow stone bridge that spans a deep pit of water that Jack peers down at. As the trolls cross the bridge, it collapses. Jack and his friends watch the trolls take a tumble and then move on into a chamber into which silvery beams of moonlight pour through a doorway.
Moonlight!
More rampaging trolls chase them out of the cave.
We're out! We're safe!
The trolls stop at the mouth of the cave as Jack and his friends scurry across a meadow. Later, they're exhausted as they stop by a tree, Dilly leaning on it as Jack looks off into the distance.
Oh, are you sure they won't come after us?
Don't worry. We're safe. I told you. They never come out.
But are you absolutely sure? I mean,
look
they...
Look there. A house. Come on.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
The house is a coaching inn.
Do you have rooms and some food, please?
Of course we do, sir. Of course we do. Welcome to the Jolly Peasant. We got rooms, food and drink, all at reasonable rates. Sit yourselves down and I'll go and see what we got.
Thank you. Reasonable rates? How are we going to pay?
Don't worry. I've got my pocket beans.
Beans?
Well, how else were you thinking of paying? Seashells?
Well... This is all very cosy, I'm sure. But what about me? Where am I supposed to sleep? And what about my supper? I don't notice any mangelwurzels was being offered, or any turnips.
Don't worry, Ambrose. I'm sure she'll find you somewhere nice with plenty of mangelwurzels.
Once tended fields of corn and wheat, and fruit so sweet, we'd want to eat the bounty reaped when it came harvest time.
I'd say you did!
But then came a force so overpowering, the land was cowering, a giant towering over everything that crossed his path.
I ran and hid.
It's to the days of old and the story.
I used to tend the farm with so much pride.
wife by my side. No one denied the farm relied on me to tidy up.
My handyman.
In came the day the dark riders rode into town. We heard a thundering sound. They burned our houses down, and when they found no more to take,
we up and ran.
It's to the days of old, and the story's told. We make little pay, but no one took it away. Make a toast to what we miss the most. Here's to the days,
the option, the maize,
when the cattle could graze in fields of gold. Here's to the days of.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, I'm tired.
I'm not surprised. We've had quite a busy day.
Yes, I suppose we have.
The landlady clears up as Jack and Dilly make for their rooms.
Good night.
Good night, Dilly.
Lightning rips across the night sky and the rain lashes down as four dark riders gallop into the inn's courtyard. Ambrose is in the stable, lying on a bed of hay as he munches a turnip. But a dark rider drags him outside by the tail.
Ah! Help! Help! Ah! Oh, mercy, 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 mercy! Help me! Help me!
Ambrose peers up at his captors and faints. Woken by the commotion, a startled Dilly looks out of the window as the dark riders make their way inside. She peers out of her room and sees the shadows of approaching dark riders. As a dark rider stands guard at the front door immediately below, Dilly swings from a window shutter to Jack's window. Unlike Jack, the guard is alerted by the tapping, but he looks round the courtyard. Dilly kicks at the window and Jack awakes to see her waving at him.
No! No! What are you doing? I can't have my guests disturbed like this!
The landlady's shoved aside.
What are you doing out there?
It's the Dark Riders. Quick, get out of the window.
Jack climbs out onto the sign above the front door. The guard doesn't see Jack.
We'll have to jump.
The sign crashes down, hitting the guard as Jack and Dilly land on the ground. The dark riders go to Jack's open window.
They are there. Ambrose! Ambrose, wake up!
Perhaps he's dead.
Of course he's not dead. He's breathing. Ambrose!
The dark riders go out into the courtyard and find it deserted. But their attention is drawn to the stable.
Gone! They're gone!
Finding the stable deserted too, they scurry to their mounts. They thunder off into the stormy night, and three heads pop out of a pile of hay.
Oh. Oh, everything's going around and around.
Never mind. The fresh air will make you feel better.
Fresh air? I'm not going outside. I've just been unconscious.
If the Dark Riders come back, Ambrose, you'll be worse than unconscious. Come on! We must leave!
Oh, all right.
As Jack and his friends leave the inn, Mavis and Reg are perched on a sign above the courtyard gates.
Bit of a disappointment all round, vis-a-vis the sampling of a bit of donkey then, Reg.
Yeah, and if they do much more of this running about, there'll be no fat left on them. They'll have wore their cells away.
Yeah.
Upsetting, really.
Such is life, Reg, such is life.
The next day, Jack's leading the way across a barren desert littered with rocky outcrops and craters with steam rising from them.
I don't like this place very much. It's all sort of empty.
That's because it's a desert. We don't ever come here. It's called the Whispering Desert.
Why is it called that?
See?
What a good idea. Let's turn back.
We can't.
I'm not turning back. I want my harp.
But they're telling us to. They're telling us to turn back. We should do what they say, or something horrible will happen. I know it will.
I'm sorry, Ambrose, but I'm going on.
Me too.
You'll regret this, I'm telling you. You'll regret it. You wouldn't listen to me before about that notice. And what happened? We got pushed about by a lot of rude trolls. Who were none too clean, by the way. And nearly killed by their mad king. I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or anything, but I really think
Ambrose?
That... What?
Please be quiet!
My hopes for a square meal is definitely reviving, Mavis.
Why is that, Reg?
Because now they is walking in the desert. And if they gets lost, they not last more than a couple of days because...
Because?
They've got no water!
Later, amidst a forest of rock columns...
Hurry up!
We are hurrying. It's all right for you. We've only got short legs.
I suppose you've noticed I've developed a limp.
No.
Well, I have. And the way I've been bashed about lately, it's not surprising.
I can't see a limp.
It's the back left.
Ambrose shakes it.
It's all trembly.
It doesn't look all trembly to me.
Well, it is. I can feel it.
Jack is a short distance ahead of his friends as a dust cloud forms on the horizon. It's the Dark Riders, and they bear down on Jack, grabbing him.
Help! Help! Jack!
Jack! Jack!
The dust clears, and Jack and the Dark Riders are far away, leaving Dilly and Ambrose alone in the desert. Jack is dropped into a cramped castle dungeon and he sits on a rock looking forlorn. The dungeon shakes and rocks rain down. Jack looks up at a grill in the ceiling.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
A gigantic shadow looms over the grill. In the desert.
Oh, poor Jack. Poor, poor Jack.
Yes.
He's dead. I know he's dead.
Yes, I expect he is. In which case, there's no point in going on, really, is there? With all the danger and everything. So, why don't we go home?
Ambrose traipses off and Dilly glares at him. In the castle kitchen, a roaring fire burns in the hearth and Jack is dropped onto a table, dwarfed by everything on it.
Oh, yes. You'll do very nicely. Very nicely.
What for?
On toast. Ooh, on toast with a touch of salt and pepper, perhaps. Nothing fancy.
What?
The portly giant scoops up a handful of loaves and barely the size of his captor's thumb, Jack scurries across the table.
On or off the bone? Now that's the question. Fried or grilled?
But you can't do this. I mean, well, you can't.
Can't. Look carefully, boy. You think you can come here and steal from me? Take what is not yours. Rob me of my beautiful collection. But I am a giant. This is my land. This is my castle. I shall do what I like!
Jack is blown off his feet by the force of the giant's roar.
No.
Why does everyone accuse me of wanting to steal things? I'm not interested in your collection. All I wanted was to...
Then you should be interested, boy. You should be interested. It's a very cultural thing, is an art collection. And music. Music's cultural. Play!
It was a lover and his lass, with a hay and a foe and a hay money no, and a hay.
He's hard.
Quiet! Lovely, eh?
Oh, yes. Yes, very, cultural.
And this? Do I have this on toast, as would anybody else? No, I doesn't. And for why? Because it lays these. Now, did you ever see anything so shiny?
No, no, they're lovely. And I notice that you're also a poet, like many cultured people.
What?
Poetry. You know, fee, fi, fo, fum and all that. It rhymes.
Oh, yeah. I made that up myself.
It's very good. Would you like me to recite some poetry for you? Lots of cultured people, well, all of them really, enjoy listening to poetry, you know?
Do they?
Oh, yes.
Well, all right then. You say me a poem. But it better be a good one, because if I don't like it, you're dead.
Yes. Right. The boy stood on the burning deck when all but he had fled. The flames arose around his toes. I don't like this, he said. The clouds of smoke, they made him choke. They made him cough and splutter. He couldn't speak. His eyes were weak. His heart was all aflutter.
Hooray for Roy, brave cabin boy, the saviour of the ship.
So brave and true and handsome too. They cheered him quite a bit.
I think you'll find he's gone to sleep, dear.
Oh. Huh. Oh, yes.
I'm Veronica.
Hello. I'm Jack.
And this is Harriet.
Hello.
Hello.
You've come to rescue us, have you, dear?
Well, I...
Oh, yes, yes. Please rescue us.
Only I seriously don't think I can stand much more. It's not just that he's such a terribly coarse and vulgar sort of person, although, of course, he is. It's the noise. He's so loud.
He shouts a lot, you know. It makes all my strings vibrate.
And no manners. Never a please or thank you. And some very nasty habits.
Very.
How did you get here?
I was stolen.
Yes, I know. From Dilly.
Dilly? You know Dilly? How is she? Is she all right? Is she missing me?
She's fine. And she's missing you.
She's not with you, is she?
No. No, she's not with me. Not at the moment.
Well, isn't this nice? News from home.
How did you get here, Veronica?
I was kidnapped. It was an outrage. Two outrages, in fact. I was kidnapped twice.
Twice?
I am an independent, free-range hen. I go where I like, when I like. I belong to nobody. Well, one day, I was scratching about near some rocks, and suddenly, I'm grabbed from below by these horrible hairy hands. I don't mind telling you, my whole life flashed before me.
It was trolls. She was kidnapped by trolls.
And they kept me, and I had to lay thousands of golden eggs for them. Of course, I had to tell them I could do that, otherwise they would have eaten me.
And then she escaped and got kidnapped again.
By the giant, in fact.
So you will rescue us, won't you? We really hate it here.
Right. Time for bed.
The giant scoops Jack, Harriet and Veronica into a box with a hinged lid, and he lights a candle from the hearth. With a box in one hand and the candle in the other, he stomps out of the kitchen. Beneath the grey turrets and battlements and an even greyer sky, Reg and Mavis are at the castle doors.
Go away!
What?
I told you they wouldn't be interested.
They might have. They might have.
Of course they're not. They pays us with, it must be said, very tasty leftovers for information about spies and such.
But we lost the spies in the desert. That's not my fault, is it? I can't help that, can I?
No, Reg, you can't. But knocking on the door to tell them it's raining hardly qualifies as intelligence information, does it?
But they might not know, might they? They might be in the dungeon or something, mightn't they? Somewhere with no windows.
Oh, really, Reg? I told you it was a stupid idea. Now we've lost all credibility.
Shiny, shiny, shiny. Shiny, shiny, shiny.
I do hope you'll be able to rescue us properly. Not so much for myself, mind, because he's happy as long as I keep laying. More for Harriet, really. She's terribly highly strung, and she's getting very jittery. Well, she's a nervous wreck, actually.
Oh, dear. Poor Harriet. I'll do my best, of course. It's just that I didn't realise that he was quite so, well, big.
Harriet, part human, part harp, remembers time with Dilly.
I can remember dancing in December, feeling the sunlight through the morning mist. Flowers bloom tall, showering in the rainfall. Everything seemed right in the world. Tell me why then I can't help but cry when I think of you and how our lives have changed. You brought mine, love, a once upon a time, love. Now hope and memories are all.
Miserable songs.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
And if I hear any more miserable songs, I shall crush you! All right. You! Say me a poem.
Yes, sir.
Come on, come on! A poem about, me.
Oh, right. Oh, the giant. There once was a giant. Big. And bold, and strong, and handsome, and not very old. Cultured, poetic. He loved to eat jelly. His knees were knobbly, his feet were smelly.
Now you die!
Help!
The giant crashes his fist down on a fork, and Jack clings to it as it spins through the air and sticks in a beam. But it drops onto a key held by Dilly.
Oh! Oh! Dilly!
Hurry up! I can't hold on very long. Ambrose, get on the other end of the key, quickly!
I can't! It's all wobbling about.
If we fall, Ambrose, you'll be left all alone.
No!
Ambrose helps secure the key, and Jack crawls along it onto a beam above the giant.
This is fantastic! How did you get here?
Walked.
Miles. It's done my limp no good either.
The gates were open and we just walked in.
Can we go now?
This beam leads onto the staircase, and if we go down, we come out in the courtyard. Come on.
Oh! Ambrose gets caught in the key but shakes it off, and it lands on the giant's head as the fork hits the table.
I knew you was a thief and brought your gang with you.
The giant scoops Veronica and Harriet into the box as Jack and his friends flee, but the giant heads them off on a staircase. They scurry up the stairs and the giant stomps after them. They're trapped by a locked door as the giant approaches. They scurry along a ledge as the giant tries to reach them.
Come here.
They manage to wriggle through a hole in the roof onto the battlements. The giant smashes through a turret.
Nowhere else to run, eh? I fall from. I smell the blood of an Englishman. People who cross me, boy. Die!
As the giant raises the fork to strike, it's hit by lightning and he's electrocuted, sending him crashing through the roof. The Dark Riders flee as the castle crumbles. A huge crack tears across the battlement, and Jack takes Dilly's hand before they leap over the gap opening up beneath their feet. With Ambrose following, they dash down a staircase that falls away in their wake, the castle collapsing like a house of cards. Lightning strikes a tower, and it explodes in a cloud of dust and masonry. With rubble falling like giant hailstones, Jack and his friends stop beside the unconscious giant.
I must find Harriet. I must find
her. And Veronica.
Who's she?
A friend of mine. A hen.
How on earth are we going to find them in all this mess?
You're right. We'll never find anybody. So let's go.
I'm not going without Harriet.
And I'm not going without Veronica. Coming!
Jack and Dilly climbed the giant's chest.
Oh, my dear, what a frightful experience. We've been thrown about all over the place. I'm covered in bent feathers.
Dilly!
Harriet! Are you all right?
I've got a broken string. Look!
The roof's collapsing.
Can we please go?
As Harriet and Veronica climb out of the box and slide off the giant with Jack, the giant stirs and clenches his fist. Wielding swords, the Dark Riders cut off the escape route and the giant smashes the floor, which brings the roof crashing down on them. The Dark Riders throw off their cloaks, revealing themselves to be rats. And they turn tail and run. Rats and Jack and his friends tear across a courtyard as the castle disintegrates. And they dash along the drawbridge. The ground shakes violently as though hit by an earthquake as the castle is destroyed in a thick cloud of dust and debris. The drawbridge crashing into the moat just as Ambrose, bringing up the rear, clears it.
Well, looks like that settling may have done it.
Yeah.
All good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
It's an ill wind that blows nobody no good.
Yeah.
But every cloud has a silver...
Come on, Reg. Let's go home.
Reg and Mavis fly over the smouldering ruins of the castle set in a crater.
I'm home at last, the worst is past, the giant's in the ground.
My mother soon will sing this tune when she sees who I found.
Hoodie, 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 hum, doody, 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 dum.
Hoodie, 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 hum, doody, doody, dum.
Dilly and her singing harp are reunited friends.
A happy village, and you all know how the story ends.
Hoodie, 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 hum, doody, 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 dum. Hoodie, 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 hum, doody, doody, dum. Doody, doody, dum.
Jack, Dilly and Ambrose are presented with medals by the village mayor.
Ladies and gentlemen, three cheers for Jack, Dilly and Ambrose, who have delivered us from the giant! Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip!
Hooray!
I'd just like to say thank you very much for the medal. And Veronica and I would like to say goodbye to you all because she's coming home with me. Goodbye.
Bye.
Later, at the edge of the village.
Well, suppose that's it then. Cheerio, and thanks for all your help.
That's all right.
It's all right.
I hope you'll be all right, Ambrose. I hope it wasn't all, well, a bit of a shock for you or anything.
Shock? Of course not. No, I mean, well, when it got really dangerous, I was mainly worried about you and Dilly. Mainly.
Thank you.
I must thank you so, so, so much for rescuing me. You saved my life, and I'll always, always be grateful. Won't I, Dilly?
I expect so.
Well, I must say, it was a pleasure to meet you all. Not the ideal circumstances for social what-have-yous, of course, but very pleasant to have known you all the same.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, then. Give my regards to your mum, Jack.
And mine.
Thanks. I will. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Now, are you quite sure you want to come back with me, Veronica?
Of course, dear. It makes no difference to me where I live, so I'll come with you and lay you some golden eggs. It's the least I can do. As long as you're sure your mother won't mind.
Mind?
Well, she's not invited me, has she?
Fee, fi, fo, thum! I see you.
The giant tears a tree out of the ground as if it was a weed. Veronica glides down the beanstalk and Jack clambers down after her with the giant's hand reaching out to grab him. The giant emerges from the clouds, climbing down the beanstalk, and a pod Jack's clinging to breaks off. He lands in the middle of a leaf, and wearing it like a skirt, he gently parachutes down to the ground with Veronica fluttering after him. He grabs the axe from where he left it, propped against the cottage, and hacks at the base of the beanstalk. Veronica helps by pecking, and seeing what they're up to, panic spreads across the giant's face. He desperately clambers back up the beanstalk. The beanstalk crashes down into a mountain, burying the giant.
Right. Let's go and introduce you to my mother.
As Jack and Veronica go inside the cottage, shoots sprout from the three beanstalk stumps. Audio description created by Iuno SDI Group. Written and narrated by Michael Woodford. The cast. Jack, Paul Panting. Mother and Veronica, Alison Steadman. The Auctioneer, Peter Bayliss. Assistant and Troll King, Colin Marsh. Dilly, Imelda Staunton. Reg, Tim Healy. Mavis, Julia McKenzie. Ambrose, Melvin Hayes. Second Troll King, Peter Straker. Giant and Dark Riders, Gary Martin. Harriet, Maria Darling. Other parts were played by members of the cast.
Shiny, shiny, shiny. All right.